You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This is an attempt at intimidation, and I think it really says a lot, too, that the Biden administration is willing to absolutely let these justices out to dry. They're not going to say it's not acceptable for you to go to somebody's house and yell and scream. That's not how we do it in this country.
I got to say this week, it was shameful that the White House refused to condemn violent protesters threatening the families of the Supreme Court. It is disgraceful. And Joe Biden used to be chairman of the Judiciary Committee. Joe Biden knows it's disgraceful. He's literally threatening the lives of these justices by the mob they're unleashing.
And they were mobs being unleashed upon the houses of Supreme Court justices. This is May 9th, 2022. I hope you had a happy Mother's Day. In celebration of motherhood on Sunday, a lot of protesters were more excited about protesting and shouting death to babies. Now, they're not going to say that. They're not going to say death to babies. They're just going to say women's choice, women's rights. Then they make some stupid remark. And I mean, it is asinine, absolutely asinine. If Roe v. Wade is overturned, and all this reaction, of course, coming from that leaked draft from Samuel Alito from the Supreme Court, suggesting that the justices are ready to make a ruling on a Mississippi case, but it does not overturn Roe v. Wade, first of all. Keep that in mind. It does not overturn it. It simply says that authority rests with the states, not a federal law of the land, which is what we've had with Roe v. Wade since 73. But then those who are out there protesting and showing up at the homes of Supreme Court justices, shouting, trying to intimidate them. And more is planned tonight. In fact, tonight, or maybe it's Tuesday night, I've got to check the schedule again. They're going to gather specifically at Justice Alito's house, the one who's actually was released. Yesterday, they were at Justice Roberts and another justice. Now, I forget which one here, Kavanaugh. But you heard in that opening bite, first was a reporter from the Daily Signal saying, this is scary. This is not the way we do things here. Yes, it is, under the left. You're entitled to do that. And not only did they go out there and shout and protest like that, over the weekend, a pregnancy center was firebombed. We had already known that they were going to be terrorizing churches and possibly Catholic facilities over the weekend. But it got out of hand because then they decided to torch and firebomb a pregnancy center for crisis center for parents who are trying to have a child, conceive a child. Where's her choice? Where's that woman's choice? But the most asinine statement again is that these folks were out there shouting, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, people are going to die. Last year, and I don't have the latest figures in front of me, but I can tell you off the top of my head, 800,000 abortions took place last year. That's 8,000 who did die. And they're out there painting pictures on chalk, on asphalt in front of the justices' homes, showing coat hangers, suggesting women are going to go back to back alley abortions with coat hangers. And yes, women did die during a situation like that, as did the baby. But the number of women who would die if that's what they choose to do, and I pray they don't, have the baby, give it up for adoption. But even if they did, they will not come anywhere near 800,000 lives. So you see how asinine that statement is? if Roe v. Wade is overturned? Oh, we got a lot of time to spend on that in this hour and the next hour. Make sure your family and friends are watching. We are live streaming right now at Rumble.com. Rumble.com. Go to Rumble.com. Go down the page. Find Larry Connors USA or enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA, one word. Enter it. Then go down and find the live location. Push it. And you're joining us in studio. And also we're going to be joined by Fred Flights, who is now with the America First Policy Institute. More and more talk about Iran is this close to getting a nuclear weapon. And the Biden issue is causing problems for babies. And more. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Activists now planning to protest outside of Justice Samuel Alito's house after a weekend of outrage over the leaked Supreme Court opinion on Roe.
You don't get to take away our bodily autonomy and enjoy your Saturday night at home. You get to do one or the other.
And what does it mean to you to be marching to the justices' homes?
This is personal, so we're going to take it to the personal space.
Okay.
They did this, not us.
They did this, not us. They haven't done anything yet. She is referring to the Supreme Court. We're still dealing with a leaked document from the Supreme Court that they probably already have found out who it is. We're going to get into that more detail in the next hour, Senator Cruz, but he also worked there for a period of time as a law clerk. So he knows the operations of the procedures, the protections to keep anything from leaking out to the public. So this was no, uh-oh, somebody left something laying out. No, this had to be a basically conspiratorial effort. And it's not going to be hard to narrow it down. There are less than 50 people that would have access to that opinion while it's being passed around the judges for them to look at, consider, and maybe write their agreement or deferring opinion, whatever they choose to do, which you're allowed to do. But the left has gone absolutely crazy once this thing leaked the other day. They had already made it clear that they were going to go after numerous U.S. justices at their homes. I want to tell you something now that's going to come up in the next hour. This is why, if you can, you want to hear both hours. I know some of you listening, you're in and out of your cars. You end up not getting to hear the whole thing. I understand that. That's why I ask you to go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. And subscribe. If you subscribe, we will make sure each program is put direct in your email. Or you can go to Larry Connors USA Facebook. Or now you can also go to rumble.com and watch us in the studio as we're doing the same program. I know everybody has busy schedules. I know some of you say, I'm retired, I don't have to do anything. Yeah, you still do. You probably have more work to do than you did when you retired, right? But we're trying to make it easy for you. The podcast is always there. The podcast numbers are growing by leaps and bounds of folks who hear part of one program, but they can't hear all of it. And here's why. Because I definitely want you to stay all the way. The point I'm making that you're going to hear in the next hour, what these protesters have done is, the term is doxing. They put out the home address and the picture of the home where some of the chief justices live, the ones they want to target. Not chief justices, but justices of the Supreme Court. Well, one of them was Chief Justice Roberts. That's doxing. They were doing that, if you recall, during all the summer riots with police. They were targeting their homes while the officers are on duty. Their family is home unprotected, unless they got them out of there, because people would show up and start shouting and yelling, and the officer wasn't even there. And they see nothing wrong with it. But, oh, my God, Patrice Couleurs, co-founder of the BLM movement, in the next hour, you're going to hear her almost tearfully cry. It's not fair they doxed my house. They put up pictures of my house. They put the addresses. They just going to put up a house, but they didn't have to put the address in. That's frightening. They're trying to scare me, intimidate me. And then she adds, it's sexist and it's racist. She's going to play both of those cards too. So you think that's right, that it's okay to dox those on the right, but on the left, oh, no. You'll be sexist. You'll be racist. You're a horrible creature for doing that. We'll get into that in the next hour. You do not want to miss this woman trying to defend what she's been doing with BLM money and then almost breaking into tears, scared, because they're protesting outside the gates of a mansion. They're not even getting within a stone's throw of her house. Yeah, I'm upset. I'm upset because of the hypocrisy that just continues to feed this through. Well, one of those covering some of these events over the weekend was Douglas Blair. He's a news editor for the Daily Signal. Now, the Daily Signal is part of the Heritage Foundation's broadcast and publications. I always tell you that because I want you to know the source. It's conservative. So Douglas Blair, being employed there, is probably conservative-minded anyway. I don't have to guess. I would just flat say he is. But he was watching some of these, and he covered one of them that took place at Justice Kavanaugh's house. Now, Douglas Blair is a seasoned reporter. This is not his first rodeo. But listen to what his thoughts were on this one.
I did not see Justice Kavanaugh. My hope is that he wasn't home. My hope is that he was safe with his family somewhere else, because it was genuinely one of the scariest things I've ever witnessed, watching these people yell and scream and try and change the vote of what is most possibly the most important vote in the history of this country, the right to, you know, live your life and to have a human being survive in the womb.
Do you understand? That's exactly what they are trying to do. They are trying to intimidate U.S. Supreme Court justices. Now, look, if our U.S. Supreme Court, they're appointed for life. There's a plus minus to that. The minus is they get way, 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 way old, and we're not sure if they're that capable of making decisions anymore. And their health begins to become an issue. And depending on which party you want and which justice is sick, well, then you want to move on it pretty quick. So when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, Obama was really pressing her in his last term. I can almost see him saying, Ruth, baby, I think it's time to pack up and go home, you know? And she was saying, I'm not leaving until I'm ready. And she was feisty and a very sharp mind. And in her mind, she probably thought Hillary's going to win. Everything says Hillary will win. So she will be able to appoint my replacement because I'll retire after Hillary is sworn in. Well, that didn't work out, did it? Trump beat Hillary. So Trump gets to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And that just infuriated the left. I said then, and I will stand by, because I don't just swing in the wind. A lot of Republican friends criticized me for it, conservative friends. Obama was in his basic last, well, he was in his last year. And I was of the opinion that if she retired, like, was he already trying to bring in AG? He tried to get Merrick Garland in, remember? And I was against him doing that because I said, let's let the winner of the race between Hillary and Trump make the decision. And I was praying it was not going to be Hillary because I knew it was not going to be, it was going to be a very liberal justice. So, but I'm willing to stick with that, and I still do. Obama at that point was a lame duck. So he was trying to get two appointments in before he left office. Garland got rejected. Well, it never even came up for a vote. Senator McConnell, the Senate confirms. The president nominates, the Senate confirms. And he never brought it up. And we're taking a chance. We're rolling the dice. I still stand by my decision. I'm glad it worked out the way it did. I'd probably be having a lot more people in my case if it didn't. But what we have here again is they're there for life. And the reason that they're for life is they don't have to worry about running again for office, and they got to appease a certain number of people to win. You've got your county district, your county courts, you've got your district city courts, various municipal courts, federal appellate courts, and U.S. Supreme Court lifetime appointment. If they are nominated to go from the appellate court to the Supreme Court, they don't get it. They're still an appellate court judge until they decide they don't want to do it anymore. So you're trying to remove politics as much as possible. Every judge that goes in has a certain amount of baggage of past things, either rulings and so forth they've done, that they might still have in abeyance if they're trying to decide how to handle something. And I know it's tough to sit aside. Let's say you always go to the restaurant and you always like their cheese and lobster. And it's being offered as a special. You can have it for free today. But, you know, maybe this day I'm going to switch. And everybody say, well, you're going contrary to what I thought you'd have. It's really that simple when you get down to it sometimes with some justices. But the fact that folks think they can stand out in front of the House and yell and shout and then intimidate a judge to change his or her opinion, once again, the remarks of Douglas Blair, who covered one of these events.
This is an attempt at intimidation, and I think it really says a lot, too, that the Biden administration is willing to absolutely let these justices out to dry. They're not going to say it's not acceptable for you to go to somebody's house and yell and scream. That's not how we do it in this country.
No, it's not how we do it in this country. But Biden did not condemn it. The White House refused to condemn, don't do that this Mother's Day weekend or this last weekend. And they've yet to say anything about it. Now, here comes Nancy Pelosi, because she had some remarks as she appeared over the weekend on one of the talk shows, expressing her views about the fact that the decision might be ready to overturn Roe v. Wade. And she was saying the fact that the justices would even consider it, it's a slap in the face of women.
This is about something so serious and so respectful of women. Here we are on Mother's Day, a week where the court has slapped women in the face in terms they're on the ball. The ball is in the court. Those justices, one of them at least, over and over again, that precedent, the precedence has been established again and again. Mm-hmm. On this decision is about privacy.
Yeah, it's not about privacy. It's about life. I personally don't care what you do inside your bedroom. And I do not think the government should be getting into your bedroom. And if a woman gets pregnant, that is her right as to what she wants to, how she wants to let everyone know. But killing the baby, aborting the baby, then that's where I get concerned. And the Mississippi law that the case is being decided by the court had a 15-week, you cannot do it after 15 weeks. They already have a 20-week law. Texas has one less than that, heartbeat. You can detect heartbeat around 6 weeks, no abortion. But those on the left just want to shout about women's rights. And she makes a point, even on Mother's Day, why bring up mothers, Nancy? Because if you're going to abort a baby, you're not a mother. Now, you might be a mother down the road, or you might have been a mother previously. Motherhood would, I think, encompass all lives and all your little children. All right, let me take a break. Going to come back. Nancy Pelosi's having a problem with her California governor when it comes to the abortion right issues, too. Stand by.
In a fighter coming on a hippie trail head full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The whole world is watching!
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 My God, of course we care if people die, if they're not intended to, such as being on death row. But that's what you're hearing from the left, that, well, women will die if you don't have the law of the land allowing abortion, that you're going to leave it to the individual states. And some states will cease all abortions. They have trigger acts ready to go that if Roe v. Wade is indeed overturned, they will automatically have an action either by their attorney general or their court or whatever their trigger action is, and they will shut down all abortions in their state. Some of them will have it with restrictions, especially involving the woman's life. Some would allow rape and incest. Now, if you missed last Friday, you missed a great interview I was airing that was part of a campaign presentation of a Republican. She was born to an 11-year-old mother, or actually 12-year-old mother at that point. But when her mother was 11, she was raped. Well, she decided to keep her baby, or she felt she didn't have a choice, or she didn't want to take a chance with back alley abortions. And look what this young woman has grown up to be. She has her own family now and 2 kids. But if you're going to have an abortion, you're going to have people die. But the number of women, and I pray to God it doesn't happen. I even these out here that are crying out for women's choice, so forth, that's fine. You can say that all day long, but if your mother had aborted you, you wouldn't be there to make the statement. But I still don't want them to die. But if you have an abortion, you are killing. And there are 800,000 abortion deaths last year, and I don't see any numbers showing how many women died because they were denied an abortion and went some other direction. Oh, well, Larry, it's law on the land now, so that's why they didn't. Go ahead, push the argument. I don't care. It's weak at its best, and at its worst, which it really is, it's absolutely stupid. But we have all these pro-abortion activists gathering. They were marching in front of Chief Justice Roberts' home, claiming keep abortion safe and legal. They were both protesters on both sides. But on this case, they're saying pro-life is a lie. You don't care if people die. Yes, we do. We care about the unborn. But White House Press Secretary Psaki said they were not extreme, and there's a long history in the U.S. of protest. Well, riddle me this. Has the White House condemned this? A group of radical, I guess we'll call them more radical than those that gathered at Supreme Court houses. They had gathered at the headquarters of Madison Family Action. Madison Family Action. That's an anti-abortion group. The building was set on fire Saturday, either late Saturday night or Sunday morning. Someone threw a Molotov cocktail into the building. Two staffers were in the building for some early morning work, and they were suddenly hearing shattering of glass and smelling smoke and saw the fire. They got out okay. But somebody could have died because of that. Do I see the White House condemning that? Do I see anybody on the left say, use your right of First Amendment free speech, but a Molotov cocktail or anything you throw to attack or assault a person or vandalize or rob and steal, your First Amendment right ends at that point. All right, I want to change subjects coming up next. I've got Fred Flights. He's an expert on the Iran deal that Obama put together and Trump dismantled. And the White House still fears that Iran could have a nuke any day now. What's Fred say? Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Drinking dog whiskey, telling our lies. One leads to another on Saturday night. And don't you cross your heart.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live streaming when we're on the air live at rumble.com. Yes, we used to be on YouTube, but they didn't like what we had to say. They shut us down. Okay. Now we're at rumble.com. And a lot of the old YouTube material is also available there in case you ever missed it. So you go to rumble.com right now. Go to the search engine, Larry Connors USA, all one word, Larry Connors USA. It'll open up one of, I don't know how many pages are there now. You'll find one labeled live, push that, and it takes you right in the studio. And before I get to my guest, I need to finish up something I left hanging with you a moment ago. I told you that Nancy Pelosi was having an argument of some extent with Governor Newsom of California regarding Roe v. Wade abortion ruling. It's not that they disagree on what should be done with it, but Newsom had said, where's the Democrat Party? Where's the party? We need to stand up. Where's the counteroffensive? Pelosi said, we've been fighting against the Republicans in the Congress constantly. Idiot. Oh, I'm sorry. She didn't add that word, but I think it was in the back of her mind. So my guest is Fred Flights. We've had him on numerous times before. He's an expert when it comes to dealing with Iran and that nuclear package deal that Obama signed off to. It was not a treaty. Fred, first of all, welcome back in, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
And Fred is now with the American Policy First Initiative. I've got that's not right, Fred. I've got it wrong.
America First Policy.
I apologize. I get some of these papers out of order, and then I can't find it. But here's what I was trying to find when I said, yes, it's the America First Policy Institute. So, but before that, decades in the intel agency with the National Security Council and others, 25 years CIA, Defense Intel, Department of Defense, so forth, so on. Fred, just last month, and we're talking about less than a month, the 28th of month of April, the U.S. admitted, White House Press Secretary Saski said, there, talking about Iran, breakout period is down from about a year, and right now, according to her and the White House, as they said at that time, by breakout time, they're talking about as how fast they could have a nuclear weapon in Iran, and U.S. Secretary of State Blinken said, a matter of weeks. Well, that's been maybe not quite 3 weeks ago. How real is that threat based on what they're saying, or are they just trying to distract a little bit?
It's false. It's false. And after Jen Psaki said that, she had to walk it back. Here's where Iran's nuclear program is. It is about 3 weeks for making a gaseous form of uranium at the weapons-grade level. That's true. However, this gaseous form of uranium that has to be converted, it's called uranium hexafluoride, it has to be converted to uranium metal, a complex process. That metal then needs to be machined into uranium hemispheres. That then has to be put into a prototype nuclear warhead and has to be tested. We're talking 18 months to 2 years. They are not 3 weeks away from getting a weapon, not even close. They're 3 weeks away from this convoluted process. What you heard, they know isn't true.
Well, when they said that, that's why I said, are they just trying to distract? Because everything else Biden has done has been, now I hate to use the term blowing up, so I'm talking about a nuclear bomb, but it has not gone well for him. And they want to pin everything they can on Trump, and that's just another reason to say, see, we wouldn't be this close to possible Iran having a nuclear weapon if Trump had not torn up the treaty that Obama put us, not a treaty, but the order that he signed.
Iran could have moved to this stage at any time, and we know they were cheating on the agreement. It's not good that they're getting close to making this gaseous form of uranium that could eventually be made into enough bomb.
Sure, it's a legit issue, yeah.
But, I mean, they're not 3 weeks away from getting a bomb, and that is so false. Even Jen Psaki had to walk it back.
I guess I missed that. She must have circled back when I wasn't in the room. Of course, now she's out of there.
So often, it's hard to keep track.
I think she's out there entirely now. I don't know where she is. I could care less. But we have to be concerned about Iran having one. And I read a report. Now, you probably saw it as well. I know you have been writing some additional pieces that if Iran had one, Saudi Arabia's going to want one. Israel's not happy with them having one. The dominoes will start to fall, and it would be tied to Iran getting a nuclear weapon.
I think that's right. The whole region is worried about this, and they've been saying, why are you negotiating? Why are the Germans not only – okay, so the Permanent Security Council, we know why they're involved. Why are the Germans negotiating a nuclear deal with Iran, and the Saudis aren't involved, or the Israelis? What's the deal here? These states from outside the region imposing a deal that every state in the region dislikes. The Saudis dislike it intensely. So do the Israelis. What business do they have making security decisions for these Middle East countries?
The other point being is that the original signers of that action included the Russians. So we're going to go to, and we're still trying
Chinese.
To, we're still trying to get Russia to, will you come do something nice for us while you're killing people in Mariupol?
It's just absurd the Russians would be put in part of the deal. But let me tell you the newest absurdity for this agreement. You're going to love this. The Iranians don't want to go along with this, a terrible new deal that Biden came up with that Russia's in charge of, unless their Revolutionary Guard Corps, which coordinates the terrorism, is taken off a U.S. terrorist list. And the Biden instructions they can't do that.
They won't.
If this group would promise not to commit acts of terrorism. But the EU took this to an even absurd length when they proposed last week that we'll take the terrorist parts of the Revolutionary Guard off the terrorist list.
How are you going to – well, there's your absurdity. How do you break that out, right?
I know. I thought this was
I'm with the Revolutionary Guard, but I'm not a terrorist. And yet they're all funding with
maybe
that money.
Maybe the Advent Office or the child care services of the Revolutionary Guard, they'll be exempted from the sanctions. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Well, the other thing is, the sanctions, the reason Trump finally, and I thought he was late to make a decision to pull them off. You've had this discussion. We've discussed it before. I thought he should have torn it up the first day. He delayed. What was the reasoning again for him not immediately destroying that document?
Well, the main reason was that his staff was not supporting him. Rex Tillerson, National Security Advisor McMaster, and Secretary of State Mattis, they opposed getting out of the deal, and they dragged their feet.
Why?
But, you know, it was actually, they thought it would be better to negotiate. They didn't want to offend our European allies. They thought this would cause Iran to get a weapon. They're mostly worried about offending Europe. They said a war would break out. But this wasn't a bad outcome because Trump actually gave these officials and Europe and the State Department, he gave them time to try to fix the agreement. So no one can say he rushed out and pulled out without giving people an opportunity to fix it. They were given over a year to fix it. They couldn't, and Trump pulled out.
So, and based on that, I used to chuckle every time Obama would say, Iran will not have a nuclear weapon on my watch. He was in his last closing 8 months or so of his term at that time. So, yeah, they probably couldn't have done it then if they can't do it now, as we're indicating this far along. But what we were doing is shutting off a lot of money going there because if money goes in, not just for that, but as you said, into these various terrorist factions around the world. And then we ship, I do remember, and I'm sure many of our in the audience do, overnight we ship a plane load of cash in various denominations in various currencies into Iran so they could distribute it throughout the Middle East.
And this money, $1.7 billion, and some of it was flown in by plane late at night in early.
Well, it's the only time they could book a plane to fly that much cash. Come on.
And they didn't admit to Congress that this happened. Actually, the administration didn't admit it at all. The Obama administration didn't admit it. The Wall Street Journal found out about it from a leak. But what made this worse is that this $1.7 billion was ransom.
Yeah.
To free Americans who were being held prisoner because they were Americans in Iranian prisons. And the administration never admitted to that either.
Yeah, and we're not supposed to be negotiating with terrorists at any point at all. Fred, I thank you. I'm glad. I take it you're enjoying your new position, Vice President of America's First Policy Institute.
It's great, and I'm happy to say that we have AFPI members in the St. Louis area who have heard me on your show, and they've given some good feedback. So I just let
well,
you know.
I'm glad to have them, and we've had other guests on as well, Stephen Bryan from time to time, and others. So, but I always appreciate you. You've been a base I like to go to a lot, and I appreciate your time. I really do.
It's great to do it. Thanks, Harry.
Thank you, Fred Flights, VP America First Policy Institute. So those of you listening, some more high marks for us. I appreciate it. Coming up, of course, you know we had this breakout romance between a jailer and a convict. What's with that? And then Derby Day. Guess who bet on 80-1? I'll have that coming back. Hey, let's do lunch at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles. That's right, Cafe Napoli 3, now open for lunch and Sunday brunch. So let's plan lunch or Sunday brunch at Cafe Napoli in St. Charles. Of course, you always get great food and service at each Napoli location, Clayton, Town and Country, St. Charles. But let me remind you again, for lunch or Sunday brunch, Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It's not uncommon for women to start writing to some prison inmate and form a relationship, of course, by letter, And if by chance there's conjugal visits or a chance that they can get married and then have conjugal visits, well, then they might go through with that. This happens all the, not all the time, but enough that it draws a lot of attention. And, of course, sometimes they lead to not just someone getting out of prison, breaking out, but leads to death or injuries to others involved. There was a case most recently that involved, and sometimes it's someone inside the prison that's helping them. A female jailer falls in love with a male inmate, or maybe it's a male jailer falling in love with a female inmate. And, of course, in this day and age, it also goes both ways. But they're still looking for this couple from the Alabama prison. The prison guard, they've got her on video. She was withdrawing a lot of money right before that happened. Everybody thought she was preparing to retire, and so she's going to go move somewhere else. So pulling money out of her bank accounts didn't draw it that much attention. And then she also got a vehicle somewhere. And then she said that, I need to take this inmate for a medical checkup. So she shackled him, handcuffed him, took him out to the car. And once in the car, they were gone. And they've been looking for them since. Now, they're thinking at this point they probably have split up, that it's going to be too easy to see them. He's kind of a tall guy. I want to say about 6 foot. And she's kind of short and a little stocky. But when you're in prison for a while, I mean, people are attracted, period. They did find the original fugitive vehicle, but no sign of them in that area where they were found. There's a $25,000 reward. You might see it billboards, especially those that change from time to time. You might see billboards even in your area, even if you're not anywhere near at that part of Alabama, of them, pictures of them together and are separate. $25,000 reward, that'll take care of a few things for you, wouldn't it? But these jailhouse romances, they grab headlines, and again, it's a betrayal of trust, and she's going to be facing a prison sentence herself once they catch her. Now, some will say, well, maybe she did it because of some duress, or she's emotionally captivated by the guy. I don't know what that will come down to. There are a lot of defenses I can think of, but the bottom line is she took him out to go to a doctor's appointment that didn't even exist and never came back. I just hope it can be solved peacefully to the extent that officers don't get caught or innocent civilians get caught in some kind of other crime and or a gun battle once they begin to close in on them. And they will. They will. That's not going to last forever. And there have been cases of female agents or prison guards getting a female lover out of prison doing the same thing. So it has no limitations. Now, what does have a limitation is if you're going to win the Kentucky Derby and you're actually going to become the winner of the Triple Crown. Well, you can't be the Triple Crown winner if you don't win the first one. The first one was this last weekend, the Kentucky Derby. The long shot in the race was 80-1. 80-1. That horse came in first, Rich Strike. I like that one. I liked one called Happy Jack because I'm thinking about Jack Daniels. I think there was another one, Make Me Happy or something like that. But 81, I thought, well, those are good odds. I mean, if you put $10 down on that horse, you won't get $880 basically. And if you put more down, you make a lot. And to that extent, by the way, the three quarters, he ends up winning by three quarters of a length over the second place finisher. That's the second biggest long shot to win Kentucky Derby history. Donna Rail in 1913 went off at 91-1. I wasn't around to vote. That was 1913. I did not vote on that horse or put any money on that one. It wasn't here. By winning, the horse and the owners get $1.8 million of the $3 million purse. Before that race, he'd won no more than $100,000. So I put down money on Rich Strike, and I see it's a winner. Everybody's congratulating, and I'm holding up my winning slip. Yeah, you know, and they give me a cigar and say, hey, you know, they give, I put the cigar in my mouth. I need to light my cigar. They start my cigar, and I said, here, and I get a match with it, and I light the slip of paper I got because it will light it faster, and I'm lighting my cigar and twirling it, just smiling, and I'm thinking, that's my betting slip I'm burning to light my cigar with. I did need a bottle of Jack. Okay, I'm fibbing a little bit. Thought I'd have a little fun with you. Next hour, not so much fun. We're going to look at more protests against justices and BLM founder who said, don't hurt me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.